radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 21. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Do you remember that passage out of Romans where the Bible says, I was alive once without the law, but then the commandment came and sin revived and I died? That's the Apostle Paul saying he was alive once. We said maybe there's something there for us in regard to the age of accountability. When they begin to realize they're doing the evil, then that's when they begin to wrestle and poof, they die. They find. He says, remain here, remain in the congregation of the dead. Verse 16. Makes sense a little bit of that. Blot me out of your book. And then the book of the living is mentioned. And you begin to see this book of life thing make a little more sense. God is for everybody, but man chooses because of his sin nature to ignore and despise the goodness of the Lord. The man that wandereth, that means he's responsible. He wandered out of the way of understanding. And if he does that, he will remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, this is important because now we're moving into some of these pictures of what it means to be lost. You know, sluggard is a guy who won't even try to figure it out. He's going to go into a deep sleep, things like that. Eventually, he'll be with the dead, we saw in the last chapter. Verse 17 says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Okay? Now, again, poor. Does that mean he's going to be poor in the sense of financial? Maybe, because I'm thinking this is very interesting, this next half of the verse. It says, he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Do you remember another place where the wine and the oil is mentioned? Revelation 6. Touch not the wine or the oil. It's the only two places these two are put up there together. Many commentators say, well, that means touch not the wine and the oil. It means don't touch that bounty of the rich. This says, he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. What it says, you know, it says, woe be unto him who tarries long at the wine, right? Wine is a mocker, strong. So this whole idea of loving wine, loving oil, loving luxuries, just a little thing to put in your pocket for when you read that verse in Revelation, because I made a statement 2 weeks ago about how that verse has been in the back of my mind about how maybe America is wine and oil because we don't have masks on over here. We don't have band-aids. We don't have vaccine passports right now. And if we can get ourselves out of this bear trap of foolishness, turn this thing around, that could set things up for a global world that somebody comes into in chapter 17, who is 10, 3 are knocked down, and the other who is the Antichrist who takes down 3, he's the 8th. You just ponder the big picture. It's very interesting to me. The Bible says, the wicked shall be ransomed for the righteous and the transgressors for the upright. I read that and I thought, oh, praise the Lord. Because this nation we're in, we are guilty of the bloodshed of 60 million babies. But the Bible says that the wicked shall be ransomed for the righteous. And that means even those who've gotten their sins forgiven, having gone through that terrible ordeal of an abortion, not knowing, ignorantly, they were lost, they didn't know, somebody told them it wasn't really a person, and then they find out later, and it's hard, but God forgave them, and the wicked will be the ransom. The bloodshed in this country has to be paid for. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, and either that or the land will vomit us out. The wicked shall be ransomed for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. Again, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. What is it that makes you have no grace? What is it that makes you wander out of the way? What is it that makes you want to stay in the congregation of the dead? What is it that makes you want to love pleasure, verse 17, and wine and oil? What is it? It's immorality. It's carnality. It finds its apogee in illicit relationships. No, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with that woman. Okay, not a lady here. Talking about a contentious and an angry woman. The word for angry is interesting because that word literally means a woman who is a vexation. Interesting. There is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the house of the wise. But a foolish man spends it up. Literally, he'll destroy it. What he sees in the righteous, well, he destroys that. He gainsays it. He talks it down like it's not real. It's coincidence. You know, when the Bible says that when the righteous falls in the presence of the wicked, he's as a troubled fountain. I've often thought that I was looking at me if I was the guy falling here. What would that be like? I mean, I'd be just like struggling. But what it really has come to my mind, you can use this and think about it and ponder it with me, but I think it means more that we're the living water, and the water is broken up if we fall. They aren't going to get any. If we fail, falter, quit, give up, lose heart, dive into sin, that fountain of knowledge is corrupted and troubled, and there is no refreshment to be had there. Think about that. The Bible says in verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. This is almost an early recap of what he said. Because what you have to do is follow after righteousness and mercy. It's not going to wait for you. You have to follow it. Remember, John's disciples left John and they went to follow Jesus. Where do you go? What are you looking for? He says, where do you stay? Oh, he said, come and see at one point. But he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere. But you had to follow him. And the guys who stood around following, eventually some of them got picked as disciples, right? Because they stayed with it. It was on them to follow. And so he says this, he that followeth, and in the Hebrew it even means this. It means to be behind, follow, pursue, listen, persecute, run after, don't give up, you know. Be a little pest, you know, with God. Say, just help me. don't let me go. And we already have his promise, but if you don't have the promise, you're just thinking every night and before you go to bed, God, don't kick me to the curb. Please, God, don't kick me to the curb. Because you know you need to be sometimes. But he said, no condemnation. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you mean no condemnation? Yeah, no condemnation. But listen, there are some condemnations, but not from God. The Bible says to not lift up a man too early, lest he fall into the snare and the condemnation of the devil. So you can have that kind of condemnation, pride, you fall down, you don't know what's going to hit you. And what about the other one? If our heart condemns us, 1 John, God is greater than your heart. Are you glad that's true? So though it says there's no condemnation and you might be feeling condemnation, maybe, just maybe it's self-condemnation or the devil kind of comes in and says, you rascal, you knew you never were worthy and you no good anyway. Bible says that this man that followeth after righteousness and mercy, he will find life. Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life and life abundantly. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is life, that they may know you, the only God, true God in Jesus Christ. And he said, he's going to find life. He says, not only are you going to find life, you're going to find righteousness, that's Jesus, and also honor. Now this is fun for me to give to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did it say? Such an entrance is going to be given to you. You're like, well, you know, I don't know. Go on out on the stage. No, they mean him. Her, that don't mean me, man. God says, get on out there. You're one of mine. You're one of mine. A wise man scales a city and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. You think he's really talking about a city? You think he's really? I mean, basically, guys, he's told us at the beginning, he wanted you to get deep sentences. You think he's going to give us some? You think he's going to show us some stuff and dive in there and say, hey, it's in the ground. You got to go dig it out, man. There's some crawdads underneath those rocks out there. Go pull over a few. There's some joy to be had. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his tongue or his mouth, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. But the proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Proud wrath. The wrath of God is there and he's just basking in it. He's on fire already. He's loud and he's proud and he hates God and he hates everything righteous. He's in proud wrath because God's wrath is all over him. He doesn't even realize he's on fire already. Verse 25, the desire of the slothful kills him. See that? Desire of the slothful kills him. What's he slothful about? He's not going to persecute anything. He's not going to chase righteousness. He's not going to chase goodness. He talked about that in the last chapter, so I'll leave it there. It says, desire of the slothful kill him, for his hands refuse to labor. The word labor is interesting. It literally means to do, to fashion, to accomplish. He will not try to accomplish what he needs to accomplish that would save him from the penalty of death. He coveteth greedily, verse 26, all day long. But the righteous, well, he gives and he spares not. What's he give? He gives his time. He doesn't spare any expense to get there. He might go to school and get some Bible training. He might spend time on the internet watching good Bible teaching or being in church every time the doors are open to get more because he wants more. He spares not, but gives. The Bible says in verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked heart? He already knows what he's going to do. He's going to give this gift and God will bless it. Every time a preacher says, send in your money and God will bless you, you've just shown your sacrifice was given out of a wicked heart. You didn't give for God's glory. You gave for your good, for your own good. And that's not how it's done. A false witness shall perish. Everybody who lives away from the Lord, he is a false witness. He's a guy who does good, has a plowing of the wicked. He's that guy. Okay, he's the plowing of the wicked. He's lost. And he is a man who will, in fact, be a false witness in the end, and he will perish. But the man that heareth, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Prepare your heart. Let him who has ears to hear, he will speak constantly. The word constantly means eminently. Eminence. Perpetuity. What he says will have eternal value. He will speak with strength. He will speak with victory. He will speak enduringly and everlastingly. Think about that. This is not a throw off of somebody who talks too much. This is saying a false witness shall perish. He's giving the world a witness every day that the plowing he's doing is what it's all about. But he that heareth, rather, speaketh constantly or eminently. 29 says, a wicked man hardeneth his face. We know that, don't we? We know that happens. We've been that guy. But the Bible says, but as for the upright, rather than hardening his face from the conviction of the Lord when you were lost, okay, that's what we did for a while, and then the Lord God blessed us and gave us a heart to love him and serve him and opened our eyes by his mercy. But he hardens his face. But as for the upright, he directs his own way. That's what I was trying to tell you about knowledge. A simple becomes a wise man, and a wise man will hear, and when a wise man hears, he will have knowledge. God wants you and me to look at things, judge wisely. He wants us to prepare our heart. He wants us to be diligent and have plenteousness. He wants us to get on our feet, get up on our knees, off our knees, and get on our feet and begin to stand with him. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, like Daniel did, like David did with Goliath, we are supposed to be able to see with the kind of confidence that will help us direct our way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. He told us that the king can't thwart his will. He is God. But the horse is prepared against the day of battle. The Bible says of the horse in two places. I was wondering, is there any place where we're referred to as a horse? The Bible talks about a yoke. We got the oxen thing going on, right? The Bible says that Moses led them through, or God led them by Moses through the deep as a horse in the wind, in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. So he helped them. He helps you. He'll help you. Zechariah 10:3 is a little better. It says, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished all the goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horses, listen, in the battle. So when it says the horse is prepared against the day of the battle, do you think it might connect with Zechariah? You need to prepare your heart. We need to prepare our hearts. Because the Bible says safety is of the Lord. Victory is of the Lord. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.